God says, I will answer you in my timing. And his timing is perfect timing. The day, the time, the hour, the date, the second, the moment, it is all in God's control. It is in his hands. If we don't mess with it and fool with it, he will answer your prayers in his timing. So he says, wait. So let's turn back now to We talked about this a few weeks ago. This is the two disciples on the road to Emmaus with Jesus Christ. They're walking along. This is after the resurrection. And the two disciples believe that Jesus Christ has died. They're not sure about a resurrection. They've heard about it, but they've not seen Jesus yet. And Jesus is walking along with them. And I just want you to look at that for a second. It says, now behold, two of them were traveling that same day in a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together of all the things that had happened. And so it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes, here it is, and this is all we're going to use from this one, it says, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. We remarked that Sunday that what was happening here is that these people weren't rejoicing in the Lord that day, that they were not empowered by God's Holy Spirit. They had been dragged down by what they had heard. Are you with me? I just want you to hear this today in a different way. They had heard, many of the people were not at Jesus' crucifixion. You understand that? There was only one disciple there as far as we know, and that was John. But who else was there? Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary Magdalene, and other women were with him. I want you to remember that. These guys had only heard. We're not hearing from John right now. We're just hearing from people that are still scared to death. They're scared about what they've heard. Are you with me, Mary Lou? They're scared about what they've heard. They can't see Jesus. They're anxious. They believe that this day has been a failure. Has it? Not in my life. The resurrection was the beginning of life for me. It's everything that I hold, every hope on is Christ's resurrection, that he walked out of a tomb, that even though my body might die, no one can kill my soul, I'll be resurrected with Jesus Christ. He promises that. But we can walk down this road of misunderstanding and negative information that we hear on a daily basis. If you want negative information, just turn the TV on to any news channel. It doesn't matter which one. I'm not a fan of any of them. I'm not. If you're going to listen to one, you should, by all rights, spend time listening to all of them. Because you're not getting the entire story. You know you're not. You're getting bias and prejudice every one of those channels. So if you're not going to listen to everybody and get the full story, remember the Paul Harvey thing, the rest of the story? If you're not going to get the full story, then just go ahead and don't listen. Because negativity will drag you down. You need to hear the good news, don't you? You know, at the top, if you have a computer, you can do some settings, and at the top of your homepage, you can actually drag up an app that says good news. Do you know that? How many of you have that on your computer? The good news app. I guess I'm it. Did you even know it existed? It's there. Couldn't you use a little good news today? Wouldn't it be refreshing? Well, I have some for you about it. Just happen to have prepared some good news for you today. Some things that you might want to hear that might help change your life, and it can be just in the time that we have left, which is not that much. Verse 44 in the same book, the same chapter. I'm going to skip around here. We're going to get to the rest of this. We're going to get through 49 through 52 here in just a second. This is the great commission that Jesus is giving his disciples before he is taken up into heaven. Verse 44 says, Jesus said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he, listen to this, he's speaking to them, and what's going to happen in verse 45 is what you need today. You need this. And if you're lost in space right now, please try to come home for just a moment. Please try to just get with me for just a moment. Christ said, "I'm getting ready to tell you something, and I'm going to open your understanding." You with me? I'm going to open your ears and open your mind so you can hear the good news. Because good things were coming to these disciples that were scared to death because they still thought Jesus was dead, even though he was appearing to them. He says, and he opened their, this is verse 45, and he opened their understanding, that they might comprehend the Scriptures. And then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things." He told them to pay attention. They're going to be hearing some things, and the power of the Holy Spirit of God is going to come on to them, is going to come to them. And when it does, great, great, amazing things are going to happen in Jesus' name through the power of opening your minds and hearing. Everybody thinks this Pentecost message is all about speaking in tongues. It's not. It's about opening your understanding and letting the Holy Spirit help you understand what God's trying to tell you in your life. What a difference a day can make. If we would just open our minds on a daily basis, we would receive from Christ the understanding of the truth of His message. And His message is, "I love you. And I want only the best for you and your family." Now I'm going to remind you, before we get to this first chapter in the book of Acts, this next book here that we're going to turn to, that Christ is speaking to these guys that have been following him. But you get the wrong impression if you think there was only 12 people following Christ around. That's not true. There was 12 disciples picked in the beginning. We're minus one right now because Judas Iscariot has hanged himself. We don't have the new 12th man yet. He's not been chosen. They're going to do that pretty soon. But what is happening here is Christ is speaking to these disciples and telling them to get ready. Something great is going to happen. And they're gathered together in upper rooms and other places, and they're scared to death, but it's not just them. He's been on earth. I want to share this with you. Are you with me? He's been on earth after his resurrection for almost 50 days. Pentecost, that word in the Greek means 50, by the way. There's 50 days between the resurrection and the day of actual Pentecost happening. And the question of the day can be, why in the world would Jesus wait 50 days for the Holy Spirit to come on people and to give His message out? Why would that be? Well, first of all, He's here walking and talking on the earth. He's very much present. And He says, I'm going to leave my Holy Spirit with you when I depart. So that's just the biblical explanation. There's another deeper reason here that God wants to open your understanding about so that we can celebrate this day that He has made. And it's really simple. You see, the day of Christ's rejection happened during the Feast of the Passover, didn't it? It happened during the Feast of the Passover because that was one of the days in Jewish history and their religion where everybody was gathered together in the temple, wasn't it? They were commanded by Old Testament scripture to go to the temple on that day and to celebrate Passover and to have that Seder meal with each other. They were commanded, and families came. Families came. Not just the guys, not just the men. This is not that type of ceremony. Families came. And then He's resurrected. And people have dispersed. Are you listening? People have dispersed and gone from the cities. They've gone back to their communities. They've gone back to their houses. They've returned to their jobs. Some people aren't sure if Christ was resurrected or not. The disciples are even having trouble with that. And so what would a Christ do to spread His message most effectively? What do you think would happen? What do you think He would do? I'm not waiting. You guys didn't think you would have to say anything? I guess nobody is. If Christ used the Passover to prove that He was the Holy Lamb of God and appeared and used that day to convince people that He was to be the sacrificial Lamb of God, what do you think He would do to make even more people aware of what had happened and to give His message? Here's the deal. I thought somebody might stand up and want to testify. I really did. He waited on the next great feast celebration where families would be in town again. It's the 50th day. It's the next celebration. It's a commanded celebration. You're supposed to be at the temple in Jerusalem on the 50th day to celebrate the Feast of Wheat, the first harvest. Does first harvest mean anything to you in connection to Pentecost? Pentecost just means 50. It's 50 days. The day of Pentecost, I'm just going to read this. The day of Pentecost was the 50th day after the Sabbath of the Passover week. That's from the Old Testament out of Leviticus. It is also called the Feast of Harvest in Exodus, the day of first fruits. It's the day when you bring your first fruits into the Lord and make a sacrifice to the God and say, Lord, have my first, my best of everything. I'm bringing my best. It's the next celebration where everybody is going to be gathered. It could have been Mother's Day in Jerusalem, when all the moms and the sisters and the lovely ladies of our world have said, why don't you go to church with me? You know, it's our ladies who have substantially, for the most part in our world, the world that we know, have insisted that we go to worship. It's your nature. It's your mothering, loving nature. God will always use the best, highest thing that he can use to gather as many people as he possibly can. And I'm going to step out on a limb here and say that there was probably a lot of our women back in the little towns and hamlets around surrounding Jerusalem that said, you know, we've got to pack up and get back to Jerusalem for the feast of the harvest. And kids have said what they've said for centuries, I don't want to go. And moms and sisters have said, you're going regardless. This is the only day of the year I ask you to go to church with me, and you're going. You ever heard that before? Anybody? You ever remember hearing anything even close to that? What do you want for Feast of Harvest, Mom? I want you to go to Jerusalem with me. That's what I want. We're going. It was commanded. And you see, we're commanded also to keep the Sabbath, to keep this day holy, but we don't always do it, do we? The name Pentecost comes from the Greek word, and it means the 50th day, and the word first appears in the Bible, in the book of Acts, in the second chapter, introducing the amazing events that occurred in Jerusalem on the first day of Pentecost. So what are you supposed to do in the meantime while you wait on the answer from the Lord, or you've received an answer and now you want a further answer from the Lord, right? Now what do I do? Now that I have this diagnosis, now that this thing is going on in my life, now what do I do? How do I handle this, Lord? How do I move forward? Well, it's answered here. Now we can pick it back up again in the 24th chapter of Luke, starting in the 49th verse, and we'll take it down through 53. It says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. This is the scripture that tells you, and if you weren't with me, Jesus finally gets out of this world and is lifted up to heaven. And they worshiped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, where they can and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. A blind man should be able to read that scripture, unless you're blinded by pain or sorrow or anger or sickness. You see, we're blinded by all sorts of things. People that don't have anything bad going on in their life might be able to read that scripture and understand that we're supposed to be praying continually and rejoicing and waiting on God to do the next thing. But sometimes we are blinded by what's going on in our life. Sometimes we are deafened by what's going on in our life. And we need others that can help us and pray with us and for us. And that's where you pray, prayer warriors come in. That's why I asked you earlier to pray in earnest with us this morning. That's what happens when someone gets so ill or so confused by a diagnosis or some tragic thing that they hear in their life. Walter and Leanna's, I didn't even have any idea until I looked at that prayer list this morning that their daughter-in-law has been diagnosed with cancer. When you hear that word, you panic. Everyone does. And sometimes you just can't hear. And that's exactly what was wrong with the apostles, the disciples, and all the people of Jerusalem, even those that wanted to believe in Christ, they couldn't hear. They'd received the death sentence. Are you with me? Christ is dead. He's buried. Even though the rumors were around that he was alive, not many people had seen him, even though the Bible says he was seen by many people. But he wasn't seen out in the burbs. He wasn't seen out in the countryside. He was in Jerusalem, appearing to the disciples, trying to give them strength and let them know that he was with them. But he said, "Wait on me." And when they had seen him, they waited and they fasted and they prayed and they waited on the power to come into their life. And then it happened. Then it happened. In the first chapter of the book of Acts, then it happened. As they waited and waited and waited, they became more bold and more bold and more bold, and they're waiting and they're waiting, and they pick another disciple, and his name is what? Anybody know the new disciple's name? Matthias. Have you waited long enough for the rest of the story? I'm serious about this. I'm serious about this waiting thing. I'm waiting on purpose so that we can understand what that means, even in a sermon, even in delivering a message for God. Sometimes we just need to wait. He says that he'll empower you at his right time, at his doing. These people have waiting. Here it is in the first chapter of this book of Acts, starting down in verse 21. It says this: "Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." Remember, I told you it wasn't just the 12 that was with them? It's not just the preacher that stands up in front of you that needs to be telling the word and preaching the word and praying about the word. It's not just me. All I'm doing is bringing the message. It's everyone else who makes up the church. One person cannot make this church. It's not possible. And one person can't do the work of Jesus Christ. It's not possible. We need the work of the Holy Spirit. We need God's power in our life to even wait. Sometimes when people are powerless, when they're knocked down by this bad news that they get, sometimes they feel powerless and they need the rest of us to pray for them, don't they? And they need the rest of us to be able to hear for them sometimes. Have you ever done that? How many thousands of times a day does this happen? When someone is not with one of their loved ones at a medical meeting, and the bad news comes, the person that hears that news probably doesn't hear another word after that the rest of the meeting. Right? How many nurses we have in here? A bunch. Thank God. Why do you think that we're given written instructions as to what to do with medicine? Do you think we ought to read them? Why do you think we were given this written instruction that we have here today? I told you this isn't about just the day of Pentecost. This is about waiting and hearing and being willing to intently listen to what God has to say in our lives. You may be the only person that can hear for someone else. You see, on this day of Pentecost, it says many were saved. There are other people with these disciples that have been listening and waiting also, and they're saying, what I just read you says, we need to pick someone from among us that have been with Christ to help us with this journey. They took a vote, 25 and 26, and it says they cast their lots, and they picked Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now the 12 are back together, along with everyone else that is with them, and then something miraculous is going to happen. This is verse 2, or chapter 2, and here it is. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were traveling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, and when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone... Are you with me? Because we're going to stop right here. Just above that, everybody is speaking in tongues for a reason. He's given them utterance, is what's happened. God has filled them so much that He has opened their ears and their mouths. Are you with me? He's given them utterance. And then right here in verse 6 it says, when this sound occurred of the mighty rushing wind of people speaking in tongues, here it is, and when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in what? They heard them speak. They heard them. It says men from every nation were gathered together. It's not talking about the male person. It's talking about families. Men, mankind, families were there from everywhere around Jerusalem, from everywhere, because they were there to celebrate this feast of the harvest, this feast of the first fruits. This is not something you need to be worried about or scared about. It's something that we need to celebrate because someone in their family got these people together and got them to Jerusalem on this day of Pentecost, this day of harvest. Someone said to me, what's your Mother's Day message going to be? Well, I said, well, it's not really a Mother's Day message. It's the Pentecost message, but I have an idea in my mind and my heart that these women in our life are the ones that will help lead our families to worship and get us to church on time. Right? Are you still praying for your family? Are you still praying for your family, Mary Lou? How many of you would have gone to church? How many of you would have been at the day of Pentecost unless Mom said we're going? Are you with me? Why do we have so many ladies in worship? And I don't want to hurt anyone's heart, but why do we have so many ladies in worship that come by themselves? And I'm telling you this, my mom had to come by herself for years and years and years before she got my dad convinced to go. He always had something that he could do. He had a junkyard. He's the sole proprietor. He always had a wheel he needed to take off for someone or somebody's engine to fix or somebody's transmission to fix. He always had some excuse that seemed bigger and higher than Mom's pleading. But I'll guarantee you what happened one day a year. She said, Burl Holler, you're going to church with me today. And when I came home from college thinking I was big stuff, thinking I would sleep in on Sunday mornings before I go back to college to party for another week. Even though my dad would say, leave the boy alone, he needs his rest, Mom would get me by the ear and say, you're going to church with me today. Something miraculous happened on that day of Pentecost, of course. God's Holy Spirit came down. And you know, He's available to us today just as He was on that day of Pentecost. The power of God is here in every sense, just as mighty and just as strong, but we fail to take advantage of it. But thank God you're here today. Thank God you are here to hear the message. See, He didn't just open mouths. He opened ears. He opened understanding. And it was a day that the Lord had made. And we're supposed to rejoice and be glad in it. Because the day, today is the day. Hope is not lost. They thought it was. And if you read further about this, and we don't need to go there, you can do this. We'll talk more about this as the weeks go along. More than 3,000 people that day heard, because someone got them to hear God's word. Thank you, sisters. Thank you, moms. Thank you, wives. Thank you for all the ladies in my life that have made time for God's word. And if my mom's listening, thank you, Mom, for singing every night at the end of the day after everything that you had done, every night of my life. The last vision I had of my mother was sitting with her Bible open, reading God's Word. It's imprinted there forever, and the least thing I can do is honor her by telling you that little story today. She made a difference in my life. My sister's made a difference in my life. My wife has made a huge, unbelievable difference in my life. In fact, this ministry that whatever it is that we have been called to is not just me, it's us. And without Marilyn working with me, nothing that we are doing could be possible without God first and without my wife at my side. In fact, in a week's time, she does probably a lot more than I ever do. So thank you. Thank you for God's word this morning. Thank you for I just see this day of Pentecost in a totally different way for once in my life. I see them getting there after 50 days after the resurrection. And for some reason, these multitudes came, because my Bible says they did. My Bible says multitudes came from every place in that world that was known. And when Peter got up to preach, he had an audience that could listen because their ears were finally opened. Be with God the rest of the day, if you would. Be with Him always, and He be with you is my prayer. And let's pray and thank God for His word.